Looking to make your visit to the 2016 Chicago Auto Show even better? Download the official Chicago Auto Show app for the chance to win a new Buick Encore. The Chicago Auto Show app has loads of information to make your trip to the show a great one. A guide to all vehicles on display, an up-to-date listing of daily events and appearances, there's even an interactive show floor map. And new this year, a sweepstakes to win a new Buick Encore. Just download the app for a chance to win and increase your chances of winning by using it throughout your visit to the show. The Chicago Auto Show runs February 13th through the 21st at McCormick Place. Nearly 1,000 vehicles are on display, including concept cars, all new production vehicles, and some that are making their worldwide debut. Weekday discounts make the Chicago Auto Show a bargain. Parking's only $10 in McCormick Place lots every evening after 6. Find out more and buy tickets online at chicagoautoshow.com. Don't forget the early open at 9 a.m. every day, February 13th through the 21st at McCormick Place.
Hey, Chicago small business owners, have you heard of those guys called Mr. Ebb and Mr. Flow? The ones that keep you up all night and always on your toes? When your business changes, you need a payroll service that can change with it. You need Sure Payroll. With Sure Payroll, you'll get payroll that's organized, flexible, and under your control. That means you can run payroll whenever, wherever, and on any device. And no matter what your schedule, when you're ready, Sure Payroll will automatically pay and file your federal, state, and local payroll taxes. Plus, you can switch to Sure Payroll at any time, whether the start of a quarter to any time in between. Sure Payroll will handle the paperwork and get you running successfully. There's a bit of ebb and flow with every business. That's why you can count on Sure Payroll. Your payroll done your way. Take control of your payroll now. Call 800-303-4458. That's 800-303-4458. 800-303-4458. Or visit surepayroll.com/Chicago today. That's surepayroll.com/Chicago.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Karen Conti at 640. We're going to talk to her about the Supreme Court situation. There's a couple other legal stories breaking as well. Dr. Most, special appearance of Dr. Most in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. Because it turns out the Prilosec and the Nexium and the Kevin, let's go to Kevin, Vice President of Heartburn. Mm-hmm. Kevin, what's the other one? Prilosec, Nexium, and...
There's Omeprazole. There's... I've tried them all, Steve. I'm on the Nexium right now. So when we saw this
story... You're on the Nexium?
On the Nexium.
I didn't think they had enough for everybody. No wonder you're on the Nexium.
Little worried, though.
Well, this study that came out yesterday, which is why Dr. Most is going to be on in the 7 o'clock hour, says that if you take... the Prilosec class of antacid / heartburn drugs, you increase your risk for dementia in life by 43%. It's a pretty big number. So we'll talk to Dr. Most, if I remember to talk to him, after 7:30. Jason Sudeikis scheduled to appear. Now, you're concerned he's not going to show up. Why is that?
Because
is this because of the guy that books these? Yeah. He's unreliable?
Yeah, he can be.
Okay.
But
Jason Sudeikis is scheduled to appear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dean later and Scott Darling later. People still talking about this Scott Darling save that he made on, was that Monday night?
That would be Monday night. Superman-like save.
Diving. Yeah. Across his body.
One of the better saves I've ever
Ever.
Seen.
Incredible. Ever.
Really was.
And Mark Sapelsa after 9. Sapelsa got a story about the Trump Tower and Donald Trump fleecing Chicago tonight. Do you have any background on that?
Yeah, this is basically, well, Mark and his investigative team, he and Lourdes do such a great job with this. Apparently he was getting some sort of, I don't want to say exactly, I don't know if it was a tax break, but he was getting some sort of incentive or break. Turns out I think the taxpayers are footing a lot of that.
And is there a reason?
No, Mark will tell us. Well, there is a reason, I'm sure, but... Mark dove into it head first.
All right, so it'll be on after 9. And John DeCosta's here this morning, and we have, previously described big show. We haven't done a first caller in a couple of days. I mean, we do them, but we do them off the air. We haven't done one on the air. We can do that today at 312-981-7200. And in our big morning show meeting yesterday, we discussed a really good text question today, and I have no idea what it was.
I thought this was Mr. Katz's idea. And it was, with the auto show going on, if there was one sort of enhancement or addition to a car, whether it be your car or future cars, what would it be?
If we could have one accessory.
Like I threw out there maybe some sort of arm that you can, that's maybe attached to your dash that you can pull out and hold a bowl of cereal for you while you drive.
Something always food related.
Lines. You're not supposed to eat cereal while you drive.
Well, you can if you have this.
If you had the special
device.
Kevin cereal arm.
Right.
That holds your bowl.
You have to have a lid, though, on the bowl because the milk otherwise.
I've gotten good at eating in the
over.
Car, but eating a bowl of cereal, I mean, that's tough.
Mary, would your car attachment have something to do with the nap situation?
Yes, actually. Well, I would like a some sort of massager for my neck in the headrest. That could
That's
happen.
That's a good idea.
Don't you think?
Can we get you a dude for that or something? Just to get in the car to rub
no,
you down?
It might put me to sleep, but while you're driving, you know, because I have a bad neck.
Yeah, not while you're driving.
Yeah, while you're
driving.
I thought
when you stop for your nap.
No. Well, that too. But, you know, you don't want the car running while you're napping. So it would probably have to be related to having the car on, I would assume.
Andre, do you have a car attachment you'd like in your cool car?
I want something built in that will... Oh, no, I shouldn't say this. No, forget it.
I know what you're going to say, because I'm sure, like other women, you put on cosmetics occasionally while you drive.
Yeah, no, that wasn't it. But that's a good idea, too.
So you'd like a full makeup mirror and a vanity in front of you that could actually not impede your ability to drive.
I do like that idea.
Yeah.
I do like that idea, because I spilled eyeliner one time on my skirt, and it just was not a good scene. I wasn't driving. I was parked.
You spilled eyeliner while you were parked?
Well, I was at a red light.
Okay. Well, technically, that's parked.
That's parked, exactly. Well, I'd hit the brake.
It's stopping.
Yeah. Yes, I had
it's
stopped, stopping. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I once took a nap at a red light.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was very early in the morning. And I woke up when a cop behind me on the, you know, the PA thing they can do from a cop car.
Yeah.
And he went, move along, sir!
Was it the light at Lakeshore and Roosevelt?
Cause that's actually like in another city.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's like a 20-minute long light.
Remember, Orion used to be able to do that, he said, but he wakes up, unlike you.
Yeah, Orion sleeps for...
he can program himself.
It depends on the length of a break, a commercial break.
I was going to say, that was the coolest thing that he would do. Nap during the break and then wake up as soon as we came back.
It was amazing to watch.
Yeah, I used to nap whenever I was talking.
And then he switched it.
Perfectly.
Yeah, I switched it.
And then as soon as I stopped talking, he'd wake up. John, do you have a car attachment, John DeCoste?
Yes, and actually I was going to tell Kevin about this. I'm going to market this. I've been using this for a couple of years now. That little thing that, you know, holds a harmonica for people who play the guitar.
Yeah.
It holds ribs.
I like it.
Oh,
yeah.
Rib holder.
And I just put a slab of ribs in there, and I will eat that.
Because nice. Eating ribs while you're driving is tough. So
it
you
is.
Finally figured it out.
Yeah, so I've got that down. So I would like my car to have a rib thing that came from the ceiling.
So rib drop, a rib thing.
Yes, rib drop.
Yeah.
We'll call it a rib drop.
Ross, do you have something you want in your car attachment? I mean, as a new father, this relate to Abigail.
Yeah, no, it does. You can set up a mirror so you can see the baby while they're, you know, in the car seat. But the mirror is it's pretty flimsy.
Yeah.
And I would like some sort of better, like, keep an eye on your baby apparatus situation.
See, this is spoken like a new father because I thought like you think. But since Abigail's 9 weeks old tomorrow.
Yeah.
She's not going anywhere. She's not mobile. She's
true.
She's not going to jump out of the car seat and take control of the vehicle.
True. That's very true. But being able to know that she's asleep compared to just silently waiting to scream would be nice.
Right. Yeah, because the sleeping backwards stuff in the car, how old do they have to be before they can turn around?
Like
10 years
old?
Well,
that's right. The seat is backwards.
Yeah.
Yes. It's so currently
backwards.
Oh, well, she could be playing video poker. She could be doing all sorts of things.
She could be stealing from the company.
That's why you need a good mirror.
True.
Yeah.
Have times changed? Because our son Christopher, we just kept him on the dashboard.
Times have changed it a little.
You can. Sure. He's right in front of you.
You can't sit on the hump anymore, and that's not code.
You know, you say that though, John. But remember that you used to sit on your parents' lap when they were driving
while they were smoking.
Exactly. With the windows closed.
With the windows
I never
closed,
sat.
You
I
want
stood
to get
up.
Any of that out of there. Six 20. Kathy is officially the first caller on the program. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Doing great. What do you do?
I work at Northwestern University.
What do you do there?
Finance stuff.
You know that Dave Ennett's stealing from the university?
Uh-oh.
No, I did not know that.
You should probably look into that.
I will.
Have you ever met Dave?
No.
Would you like to?
Sure.
Go Cats.
Yeah, I don't think you sound that enthused about it. But why would you? Because he's stealing from the university.
Go Cats.
How long have you been at Northwestern?
Go Cats.
Okay.
Are you ready? 31 years.
Come on.
Yeah.
You sound like a child.
Oh my goodness! I have a sore knee. You have to give me a break right now.
Andrea, would you run some ID checks on Kathy?
I will. Kathy, I'm going to need to see two forms of ID. One, a picture, please.
31 years.
Uh-oh.
Well, good for you.
Yep.
For 31 years, it's interesting because 31 years means you win everything on the prize list that Ross wants to give you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
Including a Chevy Drive Chicago, .com, WDJN Radio, stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. And who's your favorite Chicago sports team?
The Cubs.
All right, so you get a Cubs throw rug that you can put somewhere in your den, a bedroom, a man cave, or a fan cave, courtesy of Tri-State Carpet and Floor in Elgin, where you can afford to be floored. You can go to iwanttobefloored.com.
And thank you so much.
Sure, and a bunch of other stuff. Ross will tell you about it off the air.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Oh, and then there's this one that I've just been told by the voices in my head that I forgot. A variety sampler pack of sweet and savory treats from Sweet Alley, Chicagoland's only dedicated and certified gluten-free bakery located in Hinsdale and online at sweetallies.com. That's sweetallies.com.
Wow, you're just the best. Are you going to keep going?
No, don't be pushy. All right, Kathy, hold on.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
Thank
you. 31 years at Northwestern.
That's pretty cool.
Wow, about that. It's 6:22. The Steve Cochran Show continues. You know what? Take a short break here and come back because I need to find something I need, and I can't do it while I'm on the air. So, oh, is that too much information? This is 720 WGN. Hi, it's Steve Cochran. Chances are you or somebody you know has sleep apnea. The people and families that deal with sleep apnea know all about the loud snoring and the daytime fatigue, the crankiness. But many don't know that people with sleep apnea also have higher rates of heart disease, stroke, motor vehicle accidents. It's a serious condition. Most people are given a CPAP machine to treat the sleep apnea, but if you've tried a CPAP mask and can't get restful sleep, don't worry. You are not alone, and there's a breakthrough therapy right now that's different. It's called Inspire. Inspire works inside your body. With your natural breathing process, Inspire, you see, is a small device implanted under the skin that delivers mild stimulation to keep your airway open while you sleep, and it is FDA approved. And there are doctors right here in Chicago trained to treat your sleep apnea with Inspire therapy. The freedom to sleep like everybody else is just a click away. Try it. InspireSleep.com. That's where you'll learn more. Review safety information and find a doctor who can determine if Inspire is right for you. That's InspireSleep.com.
You will remember me
tonight.
Save of the year for Scott Darling.
After a big win against Toronto, the Blackhawks hit the road to meet the New York Rangers. Judd's pregame at 6:30. John and Troy at 7 with the puck drop.
Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
It is 6:24 in the morning. Coming up with Karen Conti, a special guest. We don't normally do guests with Karen Conti, but we made an exception this time because one of the guests is one of our own, and she's a crook.
She's not a crook.
Well, I like Mary, but she's a criminal.
She ran into some bad luck.
Mary Sandberg is here. Mary produces the opening bell, and would you like to confess to your crime?
I am guilty.
Of doing what? Or do you just want to leave it there? Because that was pretty good, too.
Leave it there.
What did you do?
I went through a red light. Well, I drove up to the red light. I stopped. I looked right and left to make sure no one was coming, and then I proceeded through.
Oh, you were implying the often used straight on red rule.
Wait, was the red light flashing?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
And what part of town was this?
It was on State in Illinois, I think.
Okay.
You don't even know where your crime happened?
It's like a block from where I park. I was on my way to work here.
Okay.
So.
But in Mary's defense,
uh-huh.
Okay, and
by
I
the
just,
way, you're not her attorney.
No, I know, but okay. She's my friend. And I just want to say, in her defense, the
yes.
lights in Chicago,
yes.
you can back me up on this. We all come in early, are notoriously long. I mean, you sit there, It's red, then it turns green, you go a half a block, and you're at the next red light.
You sound like someone who's employed the rarely use straight on red rule. Is that true?
Well, at this time
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Wait a second.
Live
from the seventh floor, the last person I would expect to defend Mary, this criminal.
Because it did happen to me once. I told Mary that I kind of slipped through a red light a little bit downtown. But it was, you know, 3 o'clock and 3:30 in the morning. And
this is how
they need to be timed better.
This is how we end up with a lawless society of zombies roaming the streets when we forget about the rules.
The clue is lower Wacker.
No, they still turn red down there.
They do, but...
Isn't it funny that I'm fighting for the rules? Since when do I follow rules?
That's
ridiculous. I'm on your side, Mary.
I'm on Mary's side.
You just brought up some other information, that's all, that could help her case.
All right, so the reason that we're discussing this with Karen Conti is because you'd happily pay your fine or do your online I'm a criminal course, but you can't. You have to go to court.
Yes. My only option is to go to court. And when I called yesterday the county clerk's office to just see what the price range was of what it might cost me, they said that's up to the judge. And I said, well, can you tell me? Is it going to be $100, $500? They said, nope.
A million?
It's totally up to the judge. Yeah. So it's a wild card.
But we were trying to figure out why it's a mandatory court appearance.
Right. I'm not sure. And they couldn't answer that either, so...
Well, it's not good if they couldn't answer it. To me, it's a mandatory court appearance because you ran a red. Wouldn't there be a different level of considerations if you run a red?
If it's a mandatory court appearance, and I also wonder, we can ask Karen this too, if the officer doesn't show up, if it's automatically dismissed because it was a mandatory appearance.
I would think that's the way it normally works.
I think.
Yeah.
You can hope for that.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping to get a letter that says you don't even have to come in and we're not charging you anything.
Yeah, I don't.
What are you hoping for as well? The tooth fairy to come by?
And the rainbow to appear with the unicorn.
All right, so stick around because we're going to have you grill Karen Conti on this.
Excellent.
So, Shane, she'll fill us in on what we need to know about stuff we need to know.
It's free lawyer time. Karen Conti is on. It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
And we'll get to staff criminal Mary Sandberg's case in just a second. Before we do that, however, at 641, Karen Conti in on a very busy legal week at Conti, at K Conti Law, I should say. That's K-C-O-N-T-I, at K Conti Law. Is where you'd find her on social media. And kconti at kcontilaw.com is the email, I believe, right?
That's right.
All right. I'm smarter than I look. Phone number at the office?
312-332-7800.
All right. So what are your thoughts on the Supreme Court situation? Take the politics out of it. As far as a judicial appointment goes, who's got the inside track here?
Well, you know, there's a bunch of them. You know, if you look on the web, everyone's got their favorites. Loretta Lynch is up there. Apparently, her name is being batted around, our U.S. attorney. There's a bunch of people. Usually where we get our Supreme Court justices these days is the D.C. Circuit, meaning they've already been judges in the D.C. area. And they get appointed from all over. And there's a bunch of good ones. There's a guy named, I can't pronounce his name, S-R-I is his first name, S-R-I-V-A-N-A. He's the one who is really being talked about. And he worked both for conservative justices like Sandra Day O'Connor and also worked on some liberal issues. So, you know, some of these people are being talked about, I think, because they might appeal to both sides of the aisle.
Now, these judges are supposed to be, as all judges are supposed to be, impartial, but they're appointed by administrations with a particular point of view, which is why the court is always referred to as having X number of liberal judges and X number of conservative judges. But in the case of, for instance, the Obamacare ruling, the Affordable Care Act ruling, John Roberts, a conservative judge, voted on the side of the Obamacare argument. So it's not out of the question that whoever is appointed is going to go in the opposite direction of those who believe they had one on their team. So are we overblowing this argument? Are we giving the judges enough credit for being impartial, or do we have to consider who they are and who they were before they were appointed?
Listen, you can't take away someone's upbringing. You can't take away someone's prejudices and biases. You can't. You just can't do that in with anybody, let alone a judge. But they are bound to follow precedent. They're bound to do certain things. And some of these people have been judges, and they've worked on both sides. There's one particular judge who's up for consideration who's worked against gay marriage but was on the side of Gore and the Bush versus Gore case. So, you know, those aren't issues that judges come to the table and go, I'm liberal, I'm going to vote with the liberals. That's not the way they react. They look at the law, they analyze the law, and sometimes that puts them on the other side of what they would want from a ideological standpoint. So I think we are blowing that up a little bit too much. But again, we still have to understand where people come from. If you're a woman or you're a minority, you grew up in poverty, those are going to be things that stay with you when you're making decisions.
Karen, are we also blowing up the fact that if the appointment stalls and there are just eight justices, is that a horrible thing? I know it'll be, yes, for more than a year, realistically, but what about the trickle-down effect for cases on hold, including that the union case, the union rights case?
There's a bunch of really important cases that are pending right now, and if it's eight, if there are eight judges and there is a tie, which could very likely be the case because of the makeup of the court right now, that tie would result in the affirmation of the lower verdict, meaning there would be no Supreme Court ruling on it. The ruling would be basically that the lower court decision stands, meaning that we're not going to have any really good decisions. We're not going to have any decisions that have any import if there's a tie. Do you see what I'm saying? So all of these important decisions coming down the pipe here are going to be for naught because there will be a tie. That's what I'm concerned about. And then what we have to wait again for those cases to come up to the Supreme Court level, and then we'll have a decision.
Doesn't it negate look, there are three equal branches of government. That's what the Constitution guaranteed. So doesn't this negate the third branch by not having nine judges?
You could make that argument, but who's going to decide on it? The Supreme Court?
Well, I think I should decide on it.
Well, maybe we do a fourth branch of government. It's the Cochran branch.
It's the Steve branch. I understand in principle what the hardcore rights argument is on this, but timing sucks. You know, you got to live with it. Obama didn't get reelected to be president for 7 years, and every argument the far right has brought up is ridiculous. And by the way, I'll say this again because I have to say it all the time, so I save your thumbs. Everybody that wants to text to say, okay, you're a liberal weenie, just read what I wrote in the blog because I slam both sides. And listen to the show. I slam both sides because I'm sick of both parties. If the Democrats were in this opposite position, they'd be saying the same thing. So how about we just honor the Constitution and we go through the process?
Well, and here's my concern. I mean, I think you're right. I think that we need to make sure the branch of government, the third branch of government, is fully stocked with people. That's what we're supposed to have. There's a purpose for having nine people instead of eight. But listen, are people going to get up in arms about this? I hope they do. I hope they get mad at their senators for not confirming a candidate. But I just don't think people care about the Supreme Court. I think it's something that they hear about, but it's not real to them. It's not doesn't affect their lives. They don't think it affects their lives, but it actually does. When it comes to voting rights, when it comes to abortion, gay rights, gay marriage, those are things that are fundamental to a lot of people. So I hope people get excited about it. I hope they participate in the process and try to get their senators to do what they think is right.
It has to go that way in the long run. Andrea had an idea yesterday. There's two things that thoughts. These are the long-term thoughts we had. Andrea thought, we were talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. Couldn't we get someone to bring a lawsuit demanding action on this to be taken to the Supreme Court to make the Supreme Court decide to force the Supreme Court to fill the position?
We were talking about that. When we were trying to solve the world's problems after the show, Karen, I said, can someone sue? And then you said, Steve, well, who are you going to sue?
Yeah.
You can't sue the government.
But
And we have to have what we call standing, which means you have to have a dog in the fight in order to bring a lawsuit. And just being a U.S. citizen and not liking the fact that we have eight Supreme Court justices may not rise to that level. So it is interesting. I mean, we're hearing all the pundits talking about what could be done, and no one really has a good idea about this.
There's a little bit of a knot hole, if you will, that was brought up yesterday, which is an interesting thing. January 3rd is when the new Senate would be seated. So let's say a Republican wins the election for president, but the Democrats take the Senate back. They would be in office as of January 3rd. The president, President Obama, wouldn't leave until January 20th, which means for 17 days prior to the inauguration of a new Republican president, he could push it through anyway.
Yeah, I did read that, and that's an interesting little door he would have. who knows what's going to do. I mean, the only thing we know is Obama is going to do what he says he's going to do, which is going to be nominate somebody. He's probably going to nominate somebody who's got great credentials, who's on both sides of the aisle, who's probably got, you know, maybe a minority because he's into diversity, and he's always said that that's what, one of his goals. And we're going to see a lot of fighting, and we're going to see a lot of stalling. And then someone's going to get really angry about it and do something about it or not. But, you know, listen, if the Democrats win the presidency, we're going to have a lot of appointments. If Hillary Clinton wins, she's going to have at least probably three appointments during her term. We've got a lot of older justices. So one way or the other, there's going to be changes on the Supreme Court in the next year and a half.
6:48, we'll come back with the criminal on staff, Mary Sandberg, and try to get her some sort of legal representation from Karen Conti before she is thrown in jail and the key is thrown out with her. I don't want to see that happen. We're trying to find a cake with a file in it right now for you, as a matter of fact, because we don't like your chances. Karen Conti, at K Conti Law. And her phone number, 312-332-7800, Fear 800, if you'd rather spell it out. I was always amused by that. We've asked Mary Sandberg to join us. She produces the opening bell and also does a fine job around here. We're not sure what she does, I'll be honest with you. But Mary was minding her own business. She wasn't hurting anybody. And then ran a red light. And where was this again?
Like Staten, Illinois. On my way to work, Karen.
So as her attorney, because I've just hired you as her attorney, she has to show up. There's a court. It's a mandatory court appearance. Why would that be?
Well, you know, usually get an option of whether to pay the fine go to traffic school. So they want to see you. And, I really don't know why, but usually in more serious offenses, they want you to come to court. Maybe they're considering this a more serious offense. I take it there was no accident involved, correct?
There was no accident. There were a couple other cars stopped at the red light, so I may have gone to the left of them to go up to the red light in the oncoming lane to look right or left and then drive through.
Yeah, you know, I guess they're probably putting this in a little bit more serious offense than some of the other ones. But, you know, you have some options. I mean, you could hire a lawyer if you're concerned about it. If you've got other offenses, you might want to do that. But generally speaking, you're going to want to plead to supervision, and you'll go to traffic school and probably pay a small fine. But then after a certain number of months with a clean record, that will be erased from your record so you won't have a conviction. So that's probably your best option.
We haven't talked about priors. What sort of priors do you have?
Well, the last thing I had was about 5.5 years ago, I may have gotten a speeding ticket for 101 in a 55.
Hold on a second.
Ooh.
Mario Andretti, how'd you do 101 in a 55?
I was on the Edens on my way into work when I used to work for a different morning show.
Right.
And I don't know. I was kind of jamming to some tunes and drinking a Coke and eating some oatmeal. And
Mary, did you feel
threatened? What kind of wild life are you leaving?
Mary, did you feel threatened, though? Was there a car near you where you felt threatened or scared?
No.
That you were trying to get away from?
No. I was kind of surprised my car goes that fast because it's like a big SUV. So I was just as shocked as, you know, when they're asking why I was going so quickly.
I got nothing.
101 and a 55.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's 5.5 years ago. Would that have come up when the cop was writing a ticket?
No, that shouldn't be relevant at all. That should be.
It's relevant to me. She's a danger to society.
Well, I'm increasing my retainer as I'm listening here.
Okay, wait. I have a question. I just want to. Can we go back over this again? So you have two cars in front of you in the right hand lane. You went left around them and cut in front of them to make the right hand turn.
Well, to go through the red light, yes.
Yeah,
that is what I did.
Okay, that's why you got the ticket. I'm not even a cop, and I know that.
Hold on a second. There were two cars in front of you.
Waiting at the red light.
And you went around them on the left side and then through the red light?
I looked right and left first, and then I went through. But I also had to use the restroom.
Yeah, well, that is, that'll fly.
He didn't seem to care that I had to use the restroom, so...
The fact, Karen, and you've represented a lot of terrible people, the fact that she's cute when she's telling the story that she's about to go to jail, does that help her?
It just might. I would say maybe you want to bring a lawyer to court on this one.
Well, and Karen, I called the office yesterday to ask. I just wanted to know the price range of the ticket, and they said it's completely up to the judge. They couldn't give me. It's not $100. It's not $300. It's whatever the judge thinks, which really made me nervous.
Well,
you know what'll help you though? Telling the story on this show.
Or crying.
You know what's interesting is when you have an attorney, the judge goes real easy on you because he knows that you've paid a lawyer a good sum of money.
Okay.
So it's kind of an interesting twist to the whole thing. But listen, you know, I think supervision is the way to go, and I think you should be very polite. I think you should dress nicely. I think you should be kind to everybody.
And cry.
I think you should talk to the prosecutor, you know, say that, you know, you feel bad about this, but you'd like to get this off your record, and you'll probably walk away with supervision, and then you have to amend your ways.
You gotta pay. Yeah, can we talk about something here? Can we talk about the fact that even if you have to pee, you can't drive around two cars and through a red light?
I know. The thing is, I mean, I deserve the ticket because I sometimes go through that light on other days as well. So.
Oh, my gosh. The emissions that are coming out here. Is this
like the worst thing an attorney could ever hear is to have the defendant just be confessing to everything?
You know, this might help you, but I would leave your car running in the front by the front door.
That's a good idea. Double park, too, when you pull up. All right. So, listen, it's been great having Mary Sandberg here. Check the Tribune Media job postings later today, because when she's locked up, there may be an opening. Karen, how do we get a hold of you again?
You can give me a call at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you for the education.
And, this Mary, is the Steve Cochran Show.
Those are not for a good time. It's 6:59. We're back after this on 720 WGN. 7:12. I mentioned a blog from WGNRadio.com. Chicago Tribune ran it today, so it's in your Chicago Tribune and also online at ChicagoTribune.com on the opinions page. There's an opinions page, and then you click on commentary, and I am one of the pieces there. So thank you, Chicago Tribune, for reprinting that. Let's go to the calls. Again, Jason Sudeikis stiffed us. Well, that's not fair, because we will rebook him. Jason Sudeikis, for an unknown reason, canceled his interview with us. Today for the new movie Race, which looks very good. It's his first serious role that I'm aware of, and first dramatic turn, and it looks like a pretty promising movie. It's about Jesse Owens and the Hitler Olympics in Berlin. So because Jason Sudeikis was not on with us, we need to fill this slot, and several people have volunteered to be interviewed. Let's go first in line one, and Amy. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Hi.
We always like to know what our guest project is. So what are you working on right now?
What my project is?
Yeah, in your case, it'd be what's your job?
I am molding the young minds of Glenview, Illinois.
Okay.
I'm a music teacher.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope you finish this sentence. You could have been a cult leader. You're a music teacher where?
In Glenview.
The entire town, or is it at a particular school, or?
Kaufman Elementary School.
Oh, very nice. So the kids are just really excited. They're young. They're learning music for the first time.
Yes.
And which kids in your school are really terrible and you don't have the heart to tell them to quit?
They're all wonderful.
Ah, good answer. All right, hold the line. You're in the competition. Let's go to Loretta on line two. Loretta, what are you currently working on?
I'm currently working on the development and creation of the zoo and aquarium video archive.
All right, that's obviously code for something, Loretta. What do you really do?
No, that's what I really do. I interview former directors of zoos around the country as well as internationally. So we actually talk about their history, what they did before they became zoo directors, how they got there, what their interests were, and then, of course, how they feel about zoos today, where they see them going, you know, kind of get a little wisdom about the animal world as well.
And what do you do with this information?
We created an archive. It's
going to be put on a website, and we've indexed them, we transcribed them.
But who's paying you for this? I'm trying to figure out who's paying for information on zoo history.
Well,
I mean, how do you monetize it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, you don't make a lot of money, that's for sure.
You just love critters, or you just love people who manage critters?
I like, I love animals, and I respect greatly those directors and curators who have taken on these animals under their wings and create an environment so we can enjoy them.
Well, I respect that. Hold the line for a second. And Loretta, you're going to hear exactly what I'm about to say, and you'll understand this. I don't ever want to hear anybody say there's no jobs out there, because this woman has created such a cockamamie job. This zoo manager thing she's talking about, I have no idea who's going to pay for this, but I love her commitment to it. I love Loretta. I love her commitment to it. Outside of who's the guy that used to show up on Letterman, Jack Hanna?
Oh, yeah, the animal guy.
Jack Hanna might give her $100 for this. Outside of this, God bless her, I want to hold a radiothon for this woman because I don't know that she's going to get paid.
You're going to love her question.
All right, let's move on to one last chance here. We're trying to find the most interesting replacement celebrity the Jason Sudeikis cancellation has created. This Jay, what do you do?
Well, right now I'm selling life insurance, but I'm trying to...
Okay, we're going to put you on hold. It's 7:17, and we'll come back and decide who the winner is.
Maybe he had a good hobby.
I'm sure he did. Amy, Loretta, and Jay are still on hold. Those are the three people who are filling the Jason Sudeikis celebrity slot. Jason Sudeikis canceled his interview with us this morning. Reasons undetermined at this time, though we think that the movie Race will still be good, and we think he should go see it until we find out he had no good reason to cancel, and then I'll trash the movie. So, Andre, I'm going to turn the interviews over to you now, and you can talk to Amy, Loretta, and Jay, because I feel I got, you know, what I got out of them.
I think you did, yeah.
All right, let's go to Amy.
All right, let's go to Amy. Amy, if you won an Academy Award and could only thank one person, who would it be and why?
Well, being a music teacher, I would be thanking my junior high band teacher for inspiring me to become a music teacher so that I can inspire all my students to love music.
That's very nice. Okay, very nice.
How about Loretta? All you right. have something for Loretta?
Loretta, what is your favorite animal at the zoo, and you can't say all of them?
I definitely have a favorite animal, and it's a tortoise. I like turtles, so that's my favorite animal.
Okay. All right. There we go.
I got to say, Loretta didn't help her cause.
Yeah,
there.
No, not so much. I like Loretta.
It's great that she likes tortoises. And again, the radiothon for Loretta is coming up soon, so that'll be good.
And I have a really good one for Jay.
And Jay had a hobby. Yeah. I didn't let him tell us his hobby.
Yeah.
So
Jay's a life insurance agent. So for this, Jay, I have this for you. What is the...
Can you guys hear me? This is Jay. Can you hear me?
Jay, we can hear you. We want to know what you think is the meaning of life.
Well, the meaning of life is awesome. It leads you to more life and hopefully more good times. The meaning of life for everybody should be more good times.
That's right. It's very nice.
More family love.
Well, it's very nice.
Disney World more.
That's very nice. That's a good answer, too. That's a good answer. All right, so Amy, Loretta, and Jay, I'm going to give them all prizes for being on, but who did you like best?
Oh, I can't pick one. I liked all of them.
Mm. All right, so they all get prizes.
I liked Amy.
Amy, Loretta, and Jay, I wish them all luck. They're all lovely people, and I'd like to thank them all for coming on and filling in for Jason Sudeikis. Who needs Jason Sudeikis when you have Amy, Loretta, and Jay? And really, the person taking it hardest that Jason Sudeikis bailed on us is Nick DiGilio, who joins us now. Good morning, Nick.
Okay.
How are you?
What the hell? What the hell? Okay, I almost tackled Ross, and I almost tackled Kevin in the hallway.
Why was that?
And I said, Sudeikis is going to be on, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sudeikis is the king.
Yeah.
He rules.
Yeah, he's great. We love him.
And I said, you have to ask a question. You have to have Cochran ask this question. You have to say, what the hell was the deal with the potato chip sketch from 2009?
On SNL.
On SNL, yes. Well, yeah. I don't care about this race movie, and as a result of him not showing up, I'm not reviewing it Sunday. That's done. No, Monday morning he can save it.
Kevin's
I'm not reviewing race.
Kevin's sitting in for Dave today. Kevin, would you take a producer question?
Sure, I'd take a producer question.
And Ross, since you're producing the show, you could back him up on this, and Kevin gets this wrong.
Okay.
Kevin, will we be rebooking Jason Sudeikis?
We'll see. That's all.
Well,
I
not necessarily. We'll see. No, the answer would be you say, well, I've got to check with Steve.
Well, I've got to check with Steve.
Ross, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I can confirm that we will have to, in fact, check with you.
And what would we? And what would we do at 10 o'clock? We'd call L.A. and we go, "What the hell? Well, we're with Jason Sudeikis. Why did he cancel 10 minutes before the interview?"
Exactly.
We could also play the about hour and a half of Nick's show where he just talked about Jason Sudeikis.
So he killed Nick's show and the 10 minutes on this show.
Right. Why do you think I'm so angry?
Thank God we had Amy, Loretta, and Jay to fill in.
We could just have you interview Nick as to why he's so upset that Jason Sudeikis didn't show up.
I feel like this show has really lost its form in the last 30 or so.
Jason just called me on my cell.
All right. Hold on. We'll see what Jason Sudeikis told John. Thank you, all of you, for whatever just happened here. It's 7:25. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Live, local, informative, entertaining, and a lot of fun. We still believe.
Chicago's very own.
720 WGN Chicago.
What if you could turn your customer Wi-Fi into a marketing department for your business? With Comcast Business Wi-Fi Pro, you can actually upgrade your Wi-Fi into a hardworking sales tool that transforms a Wi-Fi expense into a Wi-Fi revenue stream. Here's how it works. When customers connect to your Wi-Fi, the first thing that pops up is your customized landing page with meaningful pitches for your products and services. There's highlights of today's specials, promotions and discounts, maybe the opening of a new location. It also lets you customize your marketing in real time. Cold drinks on a hot day. Anybody? See how it works? Find out more and turn your Wi-Fi expense into Wi-Fi revenue. It's time to switch. ComcastBusiness.com, 800-501-6000 for Wi-Fi with big-time features on a small business budget. Comcast Business Wi-Fi Pro. Comcast Business is built for business. So get a hold of Comcast Business and get your business Wi-Fi working harder for you. ComcastBusiness.com. It's 7:27. Hey, by the way, we're getting some fine text this morning on the text question of the day at 312-981-7200. The text question of the day again is, what sort of car attachment, considering the auto show is going on, what sort of car accessory would you like added to the cars of the future? 630, car bumpers that drop down into snow blades so you could push your own snow out of the way.
That's a good one.
Great idea.
Yeah.
630, a dash cam to take pics of the license plates of goofballs on the road. Mary?
Mary's getting pounded.
Man. 815, distracted drivers terrify me. I'd like an accessory that prevents texting, eating cereal, or ribs. Your friends are idiots. 708, I'd like an attachment on cars that can shoot flags that would stick to other cards with the words "like idiot" on them. So you could see the idiot drivers and dozens of flags on them. Steve, you could add a logo and it could promote your show. 847, a propeller. That's the only explanation, just a propeller. 630, my car attachment would be some sort of hook to hold your purse. So when I stop, it doesn't go flying on the floor and dumps out all over the place.
That is a problem.
That is the best.
I will confirm.
They already have that, don't they?
A purse hook?
My purse. Never mind.
Where do you hook it?
Well, why can't you just, why does your purse go flying?
Because if you put it on the seat, which you're not supposed to do technically in case someone breaks into your car, you put it on the floor, but even if you stop quickly, everything always tips over. So another solution is just put it in the back seat, wedged between your seat and the back seat.
What the hell kind of Mexican jumping purse do you have? Shouldn't your purse flying all over the car?
No, mine, that happens to me all the
time.
What,
is Mary Sandberg driving
you? Stop it.
No, you don't close it all the time. You throw in the car and the seat, and then, boom, you stop short, and there it goes.
This is a great
mystery. Where do you get Mexican jumping purses?
Right?
That's a tourist thing.
Look at all the stuff I have in this bag.
Yeah, I know.
And the compartments are too small. Look at this. Nowhere to put the Advil.
Yeah, I know. It's a major
problem. The Purell.
It's crazy.
Yeah, Purell.
Isn't it great, too, that I'm lecturing people on organization?
Oh, man.
Thank God you guys haven't seen my car.
Oh, yeah.
From the 708, Barney the truck driver, the accessory to a car would be a sign that could be seen by other drivers that would identify them as the driver they are. In other words, you roll up on me too fast, the light would flash, and a sign would come up digitally scrolling, "You suck."
Okay, that's pretty good, too.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
I was telling Dr. Most, I don't even know where I was. I was in a, maybe picking up some dry cleaning or something. Lip, and the actual song, this song is, you know, spoofed on, came on, and I couldn't remember the actual lyrics, but this came in my head.
There was someone I could call.
John DeCoste ruining popular music across America.
WGN Hotline.
Come on, you know the words.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
We are very fortunate to have my friend Dr. Kevin Most here this morning. I called Kevin last night, and we connected with Doc. He's a very busy guy, but it also helps you out a meeting downtown. But we have a big medical study that comes out. And unlike every medical study that comes out every couple of days, this one affects a lot of people because it's on heartburn.
Yep. But I want to make sure that everyone knows that I'm not feeling well today because I just heard it was going to be 61 on Friday. So I got to start teeing it up now for why I call sick on Friday.
We'll get you out in 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
So how did we even know by percentage how many people in this country claim to have heartburn symptoms?
Well, you know, about one out of every five people are going to have heartburn symptoms at least once a week. And those are ones that are reported that have gone to see a physician. So we really feel that that number is much higher in the United States and continues to grow, mainly because of some environmental things that we do to ourselves.
Bad diets.
Bad diet, overweight, tobacco smoke, alcohol use, you know, all those things.
Coffee.
Coffee, chocolate, unfortunately, even though I said it was good earlier in the week. I'm going to take that back a little bit because it can cause heartburn.
Moderation and depending on your personal circumstances for everything. So This study that came out was about, apparently there are two classes of antacid/heartburn drugs.
Correct. There are two groups of drugs. One are called H2 blockers and one are called PPIs, proton pump inhibitors. A study came out in 2007 that showed the H2 blockers may have an increased risk of dementia. So we switched over a lot of people to the PPIs. And now, unfortunately, the study out of Germany shows that people over the age of 75 who are on this for more than 18 months have a 44% chance.
That's
higher.
That's a huge number.
It's very high.
So we're talking about Prilosex, the Prevacids, the Nexiums, all of those, right?
Correct. And that's the difficult part. You know, when drugs like that are on a prescription basis, then the physician has a good control in being able to educate the individual as to why they're going to take them off that medication and why they're going to change it. Unfortunately, these are over-the-counter, and you see enough direct-to-consumer advertising that people are going out and buying these. Now, they're not going to be watching. If they didn't watch the news or they don't read a medical journal, they're going to miss this story, and you're going to see people continue to take these medications, and it's going to be at an increased risk.
Well, that's why I thought it was very important to talk to you today, because on the heels of this, it's a legitimate study, and we need to let people know about it so they can ask their doctor, and they can also take, if you're taking the OTC version, the over-the-counter version, you know, maybe pay attention to what it says on the box. No more than 14 days. And other than that, you got to do lifestyle stuff, right?
Absolutely. And really, it does come down to lifestyle stuff. And, you know, a lot of countries don't have much heartburn at all. But we, unfortunately, continue to have it. And it's just, like I said, continuing to grow.
And as I'm working my morning Diet Coke here, right?
Yeah. And well, I guess
you got the coffee. I've got the Diet Coke. No. I mean, we all have our thing.
No, I have water today, to be honest with you. I haven't had coffee since I was in medical school.
I thought you were a coffee guy.
No.
What do you do to wake up in the morning?
My alarm.
And then you're good to go?
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. It's a miracle. No, seriously, I mean, I'm hooked on the Diet Coke, the caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't do the coffee, so somehow we all rationalize, and then you, Captain Health over here. What are you, a doctor? So the Prilosex, the Prevacids, all of those. Let's say you are, you know, 30, mm-hmm. 40, 50, 60, whatever. You're not 74.
Yep.
And you're taking them routinely. What sort of risk are we running on that?
We don't know right now, but because this study actually showed the people over the age of 75. But we don't know. And these drugs are used a lot. This is tens of billions of dollars are spent on PPIs and H2 blockers. A lot of people take them for preventative measures. They've had ulcers in the past, and their physician puts it on them to treat the ulcer and then also to prevent an ulcer. So I personally take Zantac every day because of my ulcer. I can't take aspirin and aspirin-based products, so I do this to protect the lining of my stomach. And it is. It's actually fascinating physiology when you understand what's going on in the body as far as the digestive tract and ulcers and heartburn, and we can talk about that.
And the Xantax versus the Prilosex versus the whatever, how do you know which one's safer or better for you?
You really don't, and it kind of goes back and forth between people, which one's going to work better for them, which one are they going to be able to take just once a day. And both of them decrease the amount of acid in your stomach. And that's the problem with heartburn, is that the acid that is supposed to stay in our stomach, that muscle right at the bottom of our esophagus that's supposed to stay tight, loosens up, unfortunately, and acid gets up into the esophagus where we don't have that protective lining, and that's why we get that discomfort.
And is the obvious assumption here correct in that the reason older people have more heartburn is because it's like everything else, that loosening of that,
correct,
that valve?
Correct.
Is it a valve?
It's a muscle.
The loosening of that muscle just goes with age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Do we have a workout plan for that muscle?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, people notice it, you know, even when they're eating, sometimes it's a little difficulty swallowing. The bad part is we still have to treat this illness because acid, as it gets up there into that esophagus, causes inflammation, can actually cause some forms of cancer, can cause some problems. So,
and esophageal cancer is a nightmare, right?
It is an absolute nightmare. Yeah.
All right. So here's what we need to do. We'll come back after traffic. Doc will tell us about the lifestyle changes. I know. That's the part you don't want. Here come your vegetables. The lifestyle changes we all need to make. At 312-981-7200, if you want to jump in, I'll try to get to your question here related to this. It's Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. It's 7:49. Dr. Kevin Most is here, Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. We're talking about this gigantic study that came out. That is pretty scary stuff for older folks in particular who are taking daily or therapeutic antacids over the counter or as a prescription thing. Before we get to that, what's the kidney disease part of this?
Well, yeah, a study actually, that study came out probably 3 or 4 months ago that showed that people on PPIs have an increased chance of chronic kidney disease as well.
And that's any age?
Yeah, it's any age. And those are the ones that are probably a little bit more concerning. Long-term kidney illnesses where you end up on dialysis or you end up with poor kidney function that has to monitor how even you take other medications is very disturbing. So it really takes a great educated person to talk to their physician about this. And that's probably, like I said, the biggest concern is that these medications are over-the-counter. And unless you really know and go and study that, boy, I can have kidney disease from this. I should talk to my doctor about the pros and cons. I could have dementia if you have a senior over the age of 75 taking these, increased risk. So drugs that we thought used to be very, very safe do have some problems that we need to be aware of.
And, you know, this is a frustration, too. And you know this because you hear this from patients all the time. They go, well, one study says this, and then the next study counteracts that. What am I supposed to do? It really comes down to treating the individual you in your circumstances, right?
It does. And, you know, and different people have different risk factors. So if that same person is a smoker, if that same person has a propensity for kidney disease, boy, that's not a person I'm going to put on a PPI or an H2 blocker. I'm going to treat them with Tums and other antacids or, like you said, lifestyle changes. So it really does come down to awareness of the medication, the side effects of the medication, and the potential long-term consequences.
What is GERD?
GERD is reflux disease. So essentially,
so it's acid reflux?
Exactly.
All right. So Chris calls, I'll just jump in here and do this, the alternative if you have GERD.
Yeah. So the alternatives for GERD are a few. One of them is very simple lifestyle changes. Elevate the head of your bed. Before we had H2 and PPI blockers, we would tell people, go get a cinder block, put the head of your bed on a cinder block, and let gravity help you keep that acid in your stomach. The other things we would look at is look at your weight. We want to make sure people that are obese are going to have a higher propensity for this, mainly just because of their anatomy. And then we're going to look at foods, too. We're going to tell people, don't eat an hour before you go to bed. Eat well before, get more into that European where you're going to have the larger meal in the middle of the day and a smaller meal in the evening so that you don't have this large amount of food in your stomach that's going to cause this acid.
What about exercise? I mean, exercise relates to weight, obviously, but is exercise helpful in regards to the biology of this or the moving things in the proper way?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Some exercises can actually make it worse. So as you try to build your core, you put a lot of pressure on the stomach, you can actually have an increased chance of this while you're exercising. But exercising really won't have any effect in the long term Matter of fact, it may help you at least keep some of your weight down.
Can you take a walk after dinner kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. That'd be great. That's going to help your digestive tract. That's going to move food through quicker. And then it won't have that large, what we call, bolus of food sitting in your stomach.
Maria has a 16-year-old that takes Pepcid AC. Is that a problem?
Well, it depends. Again, why is she taking it at the age of 16? What symptoms is she having, and can we do something else about it? You know, people have stomach problems, and they take these medications, and sometimes they take them without getting evaluated. I'm a perfect example. I took baby aspirin when my brother had a heart attack. 3 weeks later, I had a bleeding ulcer. If I had not known what to look for,
yeah,
I would have been in a world of hurt. So just putting yourself on medication without knowing what you're treating is probably not a great idea.
What role do probiotics play in this, if any?
Probiotics, probably not a lot. Probiotics work more in the further down in the digestive tract to help you with absorption of some nutrients, more in the small intestine and large intestine than they work in the stomach.
Let's see. Does this include omeprazole? Isn't that Prilosec?
Correct.
So it would, obviously.
Yes, it does.
All right. And again, for people that turn on the radio late, the study we're referring to in the kidney section of this are two separate conversations. The study that came out yesterday is for people approximately what age?
75 and older. Yep.
And for people that take those sorts of drugs regularly.
Proton pump inhibitors, and they were taking them greater than 18 months. Yep.
All right. As usual, I've got a funky text situation here, but let me scroll through this as fast as I can. What about liquid Maalox and Mylanta? They seem to have disappeared from the market a few years ago.
Well, you know, you still, people got away from them because of the hassle of doing it, because now you can do chewables. So you just saw the consumer wanting to go more to something easier to use, something that they can keep in their pocket, keep at their bedside. So, you know, the chewable Tums, the chewable Maalox and Mylanta are very much more popular. And from a business side of view, it's probably easier to make those and less expensive, and they still have them available.
From the 847, I'm on, is it Asafex?
Asafex?
Asafex would be a different condition. I'm on Asafex for GERD, and I have a family history of dementia. Does that put me at greater risk than those in the study?
It does. You know, I still think that we're looking at long-term effects that we won't know the answers to right now. I think anybody who's on a medication for a long period of time for GERD starts to at least need to have conversations about what else can I do to eliminate this issue. And any long-term medication, I think we're going to start to find, are still going to have more problems in the long run.
Bad breath because of acid reflux. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, you can even have a hoarse voice or a cough from acid reflux. It comes all the way up to your esophagus. There's other reasons for what we call halitosis or bad breath, but certainly you can. Often people who have GERD will say that they have this foul taste in their mouth after it because the acid does reflux all the way up.
And when we talk about increased possibilities of dementia, people are going Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer's is an umbrella term, right?
Correct. Yep.
So would dementia be in under that umbrella?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's see if I can get one more of these texters in here. And if we could just check after the show, Kev, if we could get a worse tech system for actually doing this live on air, that might be helpful for me. Could you ask Dr. Most if I should be concerned about the fact that I've been on prescription omeprazole for 10 years? Again, I don't know that it matters so much about what you've done. It's about what you do now, right?
Correct. You know, and you obviously aren't going to undo anything, and I'm not going to tell all these people to stop taking their medicines. It's definitely a discussion with your physician. Because like I said, people that have it, if you stop taking it, your symptoms are going to come back. So unless you do something about that, and for people who are on it like myself, I'm not going to stop taking it because it's protective for me where I need to still take a baby aspirin for my heart. This is going to protect my stomach as well, so it allows me to do both. So it really does come down to the reason why you're on it and what your physician thinks about it.
Yeah, so lifestyle changes are all the changes nobody wants to make. You want to be able to eat, especially, you know, if you're under the age of 40.
Yep.
You go, well, why can't I have a pizza? Why can't I, you know, go out for ice cream or, you know, Mexican food or whatever?
Well, it's actually interesting you bring it up because tomatoes is one of the big causes of this as well. So it's not necessarily you have to change your eating habits, but I say eat differently and eat smarter. So if you're going to have your pizza, have it at lunch instead of at dinner. You know, if you want to have fried chicken, you have it at lunch instead of at dinner. And just make sure that dinner meal is well before you're going to go to sleep. And try not to snack before you go to bed.
3 hours before bedtime?
2 to 3 hours is great. To be honest with you, a lot of people eat like 1 hour before bedtime, especially in the winter. They'll eat and then they'll go to sleep, and it just is not good. Plus, it's really not good for your body. You want to get up and move around while you after you've had that meal.
And an elevated pillow.
Elevated pillow, elevate the head of your bed. That's only all that's doing is letting gravity help you.
If you could sleep standing, is that a better bed?
People do. I'll tell you, a lot of people with this really bad end up sleeping in lounge chairs and because it's the only place that they can get comfortable. And again, people that are taking that and say, well, can I take Tums? They have to realize Tums is not a preventative medicine, so it's not like you can take Tums in the morning and it's going to prevent that at night. Tums is something where if you have that discomfort, you can take it and it'll eliminate it in real time.
Yeah, and it's not Gelucil. It's somebody asked about Genucil.
Don't you do Genucil? Isn't that the commercials you do?
No, but there's somebody asked about an over-the-counter drug called, I think it's Genucil. You never heard of it?
No.
Okay. And you have an ulcer.
I had.
Yeah, we had this conversation.
Yep.
Yeah. That you woke up at the bottom of your steps one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't know you had an ulcer until you took an aspirin.
Yep. My brother had a heart attack at the age of 47, and I thought I was going to be brilliant and start taking aspirin to protect my heart. And little did I know that I was a person that I fall in that small population that can't take aspirin or Advil or any of the NSAIDs.
But you could have bled out.
Yeah. Yeah, the stomach is very vascular.
You like me bringing up this story? Yeah, you seem like you really want to talk about
it. You want to talk about your pulmonary embolism?
Not that
what?
Much, really. Okay. No. Yeah. No, but I'm saying all of this is beneficial for people to hear.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I wouldn't think you'd be so sensitive about nearly dying, did you? Thank you, man. I really appreciate
you're
it. Yeah. And good luck today in whatever it is you actually have to do for a living. But thank you for this help. I mean, the audience really, we're very lucky to have Dr. Most to actually come on this show because, frankly, I mean, this is not good for his reputation. But to come on this show
and
actually provide this kind of information. So don't panic. Just treat yourself better.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues, 8:11 now, and Dean sponsored, as always, by the fine people at the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. You go live to Channel 9, and Andre, you know the Channel 9 newsroom. You're there every weekend. You work at Channel 9.
Mm-hmm.
And Dean has a lovely corner that he's turned into a suite. It's kind of a two-bedroom thing.
Yep.
He's got a great cubicle.
I have a hammock.
He's got like this open kitchen too, because he's such a food expert. It's kind of a pass-through kitchen where you can see Dean's private chef cooking.
I haven't seen your hammock, Dean.
I have a hammock and also bunk beds, depending on how busy I am.
Yeah.
Sometimes Tom Negevin will be in the upper bunk, and I have to settle for the lower.
We saw Tom out in Iowa. Nice guy.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, we like Tom.
Very, very nice.
Let's go through the minor stuff before we get to one of the great show business snubs of all time, happened to be caught on video. Beyonce's added a second show already. No surprise there, right?
First show was the intimate venue known as Soldier Field. It sold out instantly, and that's no small feat. That's for the May 27th show, so they've added a second show now. It's going to be the next day.
She's playing in the lobby here at the Tribune Tower.
Yeah.
And then over to Soldier Field on the 28th. Pre-sale tickets go on sale today, so if you have an American Express card, if you're in her fan club, if there are a bunch of little things where you can buy tickets ahead of time. Otherwise, they go on sale a week from tomorrow.
I have a ringtone on my phone. That's my ringtone.
That may qualify.
Darn.
I have only been to a handful of concerts at Soldier Field.
Not my favorite thing in the world.
No, I agree.
No, and I've been lucky enough to have like great seats.
Because you're an important person.
Right.
No, I actually just...
You can just step on the average person and get a good seat.
Well, there is that. But, it's not... You know, it's an event, and you can tell people you were there, and that's all cool. But, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of concerts at Soldier Field.
Arena shows in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Tough to see. It's tough to... Like, unless you're super close, you know, it's tough to see. It's tough to hear. They put up the monitors, but, you know, if you're watching a concert, you're sitting there and watching a monitor, you may as well be at home.
Right.
I like the more small, intimate shows where Beyonce performs at my table.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm having dinner, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So. I'll never forget two shows. I saw Tina Turner when she was on her comeback before What's Love Got to Do With It came out, and she was doing this little comeback tour at the Park West.
Imagine Tina Turner at
the
Park West.
Wow, how cool is that?
Amazing. And then shortly after that, a young singer was just starting off in her career and worked at the Park West. I didn't even really want to go, but somebody said, you have to hear this singer, Whitney Houston, at the Park, at the Park West. Park West.
How did she blow? She blew the roof off.
Blew the roof off that place.
Wow,
unbelievable.
Well, that's very cool.
But that's the way. So, Beyonce, if you're listening, if you wouldn't mind,
play the Park West.
I know it only seats like 900 people. You probably have to do like.
She'd have to do 75 shows.
I like when the big name acts. Remember Prince showed up when they show up at the smaller venues like the Metro.
Oh, I saw Prince. Park I saw West. Prince with 35 people.
Really?
Yeah, and this was long after Prince was Prince. That was cool.
At
that may
house.
Be the greatest.
Was it at his
No, it was at a club.
At your house.
35 people. Yeah.
Because honestly, seriously, didn't you used to like hang out with Prince when
bit.
You were in Minneapolis?
A little bit, yeah. You remember the long conversation I had with him once where he came, walked by. He still had his yellow buttless suit on. And it was post-concert, and he came by, he goes, hello, Steve. And I go, his voice is a little deeper than that, by the way. And I said, hey, great show, man. He goes, thank you. And he kept walking. But he did have me on stage once. I sang on stage with Prince. And by singing on stage, I mean I was three mics back to the right behind a drum kit on a mic that I'm sure wasn't plugged in.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that the song When Doves Fly is written about Steve.
Yeah.
That was his nickname for Steve, Dove.
Yeah, he called me Dove, and he used to have the bouncers like practice on me by throwing me out in the parking lot, and I'd sneak back in. Look, Steve Schlong again.
Didn't throw peanuts at him.
I got to hear about the Kanye nonsense. There's an idea that really is a great idea, but I'm kind of surprised they haven't done it before, involving The Simpsons. But tell me the Natalie Cole story before we get traffic.
Well, this is, at the Grammys. Everyone was a little surprised that, everyone got at least one song tribute at the Grammys. And for Natalie Cole, she was just one part of the memoriam montage. And a lot of people were a little put off by that. Natalie Cole's sisters being top of that list. They were told that there was going to be more than that, so they were looking forward to it. It never happened. But then they also told the story that, the Grammy people got them seats in the upper balcony where they could barely see the stage, sitting next to the Justin Bieber fans who were, screaming the whole night for Justin Bieber. So, Natalie Cole, Nat King Cole's, other daughters, Natalie Cole's sisters, really dissed by the Academy people.
Yeah, it does seem to be the case. I mean, it is Natalie Cole. She had hits.
Yeah.
She's got this music family royalty tie. But nobody has explained it, huh?
Yeah, nobody's explained it. And, if the story that they're telling is true, and I have no reason to doubt it, at least don't tell them we're going to do something special and then not do it.
That is odd.
Just say that, we're not going to, there's not time. It's a live show. Most people would understand that. But we'll get you seats. So maybe you'll be able to see the stage.
That's very weird. 8:17, more with Dean in just a moment. Stand by for that as we continue. Do we have a name for this segment? Dean, did we ever name this segment?
No, I don't think we ever have. It sounds like the makings of a good contest, Dove.
That'd be a good text question of the day. Text question of the day continues, Dean. You can think of an answer during the break here, if you wouldn't mind. The question is, we got all the cars at the auto show. What auto accessory that hasn't been invented yet would you like on your car? Yeah.
I already have the answer, but I'll wait.
Yeah, that'll be good.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh. All right, so Dean, on your car, what accessory would you like?
Toaster oven. Toaster oven and
to make a little hammy in there or
well,
what?
It's because sometimes you're nibbling on something and it gets cold. You want to warm it up a little bit, so you just like somewhere in the dashboard, something like that. You just open the little door, and you can warm it up. Or also one of those fountain drink machines like they have at the movie theaters, where you can choose 7 or 8 different kinds of beverages.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So that
because sometimes you got a taste for something, maybe a Dr. Pepper.
Sometimes I would like a Fanta orange.
Right.
Zero.
And you can't get that everywhere.
Zero.
From the 847, I'd like a device that shuts off the turn signal after you leave it on while driving in the left lane for a half an hour.
That's true.
And then in large caps, the lady in front of me sure as hell needs one.
I'm texting while driving is still illegal.
From the 630, a car featuring a cone of silence so I don't have to listen to whining about how WGN and my audiobooks are boring. That's why I'm dropping you off at school. It's good, 773. I'd like a soundproof divider behind the driver's seat in my minivan to keep the noise from my kids out.
I think I got a limo screen in your kids.
A lot of happy parents writing in today.
All right, moving on to, well, let's talk about The Simpsons here. This is such a good idea. Were you surprised this hasn't been done?
Yes, completely. I guess I never even realized that they've never done it, but that's such a live Simpsons episode.
Such
is
such
a fantastic idea. You know, it's like you know, live radio. Why not do it? Except that they have to figure out a way to sync up the video, the animation, with the voices. And apparently the way that they're going to do that is with this motion capture technology that they use for the movies, where the actors dress up in these suits that have little dots all over them that are connected to computers. So whatever their movement is, even subtle facial movements, are then taken from this outfit that they're wearing with the dots into a computer. It transforms into the animated images that we see on TV. It's brilliant.
It has to be, right? The technology's finally caught up to make it feasible, whereas before it was a great idea, and they go, wow, it's too much. We can't pull it off.
Yeah, the episode is going to be on in May. Whether it's going to be a full live episode or portions are going to be live, I've heard that Oak Park, former Oak Park native Dan Castellaneta, who does the voice of Homer and many of the voices on The Simpsons, will at least do a question and answer period with social media.
That's cool.
For some very cool immediacy. So, brilliant idea. 27 years after the show's been on the air, still innovating, still one of the greatest shows ever.
Kanye West update. Is he, is he $53 million in debt? Has he lost his mind? What do we know?
Well, the greatest new development, this isn't something started by Kanye West. This is started by a fan, but it's absolutely hilarious. A Kanye West GoFundMe page, because Kanye has said he's $53 million in debt. He's asked Mark Zuckerberg for, a billion or something like that. So a fan has started this page saying, I want you to know that I don't get a penny from this. I would like everything to go to Kanye. Since he's a high-profile public figure, I prefer to have GoFundMe transfer all the funds to his people directly. So he needs $53 million, and so far the GoFundMe page has taken in $324.
The best is, though, the description where they say, sure, he's personally rich and can buy furs and houses for his family, but without our help, the true genius of Kanye can't be realized.
Right. Really, what's best are the comments that people are leaving on this page with donations. A $5 donation from somebody named Heather who says, I feel it's worth spending $5 to tell you, sir, you are one of the most arrogant turds on the planet.
I think that is an insult to turd.
$5 from, it says, U.S. Army Ranger. $5 is worth being able to tell you you're a punk and to shut the hell up.
Do we know if Martin Shkreli, the equally aggravating, maybe more disliked, I suppose, pharmaceutical scam artist who raised the price on the AIDS drug?
Yeah.
He claims that somebody representing Kanye ripped him off for $15 million. Do we know if that was a scam or is that real?
I haven't heard anything definitive on that. So,
all right, you got your best people on it?
I do not know, and I do have my entire staff on that right now.
All right, so if you're Paul McCartney, wherever you want to go, whenever you want to go there, nobody says, sorry, you're not on the list. What the hell happened?
So Paul McCartney, after the Grammy Awards, is, I find interesting, is going to some of the after parties. And the rapper named Tyga is at an after party in Los Angeles, and Paul McCartney shows up with Beck, another Grammy winner, and the Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins. And Paul McCartney, former Beatle, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, 18-time Grammy winner.
And I would argue one of the most recognizable faces on the planet.
On the planet. Absolutely on the planet. He shows up at the door. The security guy says, you can't get in. It's not on the list. And, you know, kind of sit there joking around a little bit. And Paul McCartney, this is all captured on video, and it's on TMZ.com. Paul McCartney goes, how much more VIP do I need to be?
But he wasn't a jerk about it. He was laughing.
He was kind of joking about it. And he said, apparently, we need another hit, guys. We need another hit in order to get into the room. So they step away for a bit. They try to get back, to recollect themselves, to reevaluate that they've just turned away a former Beatle. And they are turned away again at the door. Twice they are turned away. All of this captured on video.
And this was the rapper Tyga's party?
Tyga is his name.
Tyga?
Tyga. Tyga is his name.
Are you sure it's not Tyga? Tyga's a better pronunciation.
So Jimmy Kimmel last night catches up with Tyga. They stage this thing where Tyga's trying to get into Jimmy Kimmel's show, but the security guard won't let him into Jimmy Kimmel's show, which is funny. But Tyga had an explanation of what happened.
I had no knowledge. I was like inside performing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I really wish I would have knew he was outside. I would have went out there with the mic, you know, brought him in. Perform actually with me.
So, Tyga, did you have a list of people that you invited to the party?
No, I actually got paid to go and perform.
Oh.
So I really, didn't have no knowledge of what was going on. I just showed up, you know. And
have you reached out to Paul McCartney to apologize?
I mean, I tweeted him, but I don't think he's seen my tweet.
So it sounds like Tyga didn't even, you know, he was just hired to perform at this party is what it sounds like. Some security guard has definitely got some splaining to do today of why he would turn away Paul McCartney twice at the door.
Dean, since you go to these high profile parties, I always wondered if you're Paul McCartney.
I'm usually asleep by about 8 o'clock.
Do you have to show ID to get in?
Never. No, he's Paul McCartney.
But he couldn't get in.
He's Paul friggin' McCartney. Have you seen the video, by the way?
Yeah, it's funny.
The video where he's there lingering, and then he has to walk back and get into his car.
Does like a walk
it's
of
like,
shame.
How do you embarrass Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really is.
The guy, and I'm going to say the security guy knew that it was Paul McCartney. When you watch it and listen carefully, he's asking him, what was your favorite Rolling Stones song?
Oh, he is.
I mean, he's talking to him. It's not like...
But he opens the door, and there's somebody inside the door who goes, tell the old guy to go home.
It was Tyga.
Tyga's friend Tyga.
Tyga. You know, Tyga like her. Tyga her.
You know who could have fixed all of this? Dean's friend Rhymefest.
I talked to him on the phone yesterday, by the way.
Good God. Of course you did.
I was talking to him about the Grammy because he was at the Grammys. He won a Grammy Award. I was congratulating him.
Yeah.
And, I asked him, what'd you think of this? And I said, what'd you think of Kendrick Lamar's song? He goes, what the hell? He says, what the hell was that?
That's hilarious. Yeah. I was talking to my friend Punfest. He's a little lesser known than Rhymefest. All right, I don't have any
love
friends.
A good pun.
Thank you, buddy.
Roman Polak from the deep slot hammers a shot. That deflects up off the glass behind the Hawk net. Then from the left wing boards, Winnick fires. Save made. Rebound. Oh, what a save by Darling. He flies across the crease. He was parallel to the ice. And he just robbed Nick Spaulding, who thought he had a sure goal. That might be the save of the year for Scott Darling.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk. Sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Sponsored by MB Financial Bank. It's Breakfast with a Blackhawk, and that little piece of sound you heard, as Scott Darling joins us now, was John Weideman losing his mind appropriately over one of the greatest saves I've ever seen. Scott Darling was actually out in the concourse ordering a slice of pizza when that puck started to fly towards the net, threw himself backwards, and somehow managed to go horizontal on the ice and make one of the greatest saves I've ever seen. All right, Scott, first off, welcome to the show. How you been?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on. And don't be modest here. In ranking your favorite saves of all time, where is that one?
All time, it's definitely probably top five.
It's tremendous.
It was a little bit of luck involved, but for sure it was just like a desperate times call for desperate.
Desperate measures.
Reaction. Yeah, desperate measures. So
I actually threw my back out watching you make that save. It was unbelievable. I don't even know how you got back into that position, but congratulations. And, you're in a tough spot. We talk about this a lot. You're the go-to guy. If Corey has a bad night, and frankly, they're not very often, as you know, which is great. But you got to be ready to go. And obviously on back-to-backs, you're going. Is it tough to get into rhythm and stay in rhythm?
Yeah, you know it is, but you know that's my job. Being the backup to the best goalie in the league is not ideal because you don't get to play often. But when you do, you get really excited, and you just got to do the best with what you got. So I'm definitely happy to be in that role.
I feel like I've seen you when you make a couple of good saves, and it's not when you take a puck off the mask, but I've seen you shake your head like, how'd that happen? I mean, the things happen so fast, and you have to be so instinctive as an NHL goalie that sometimes you can be headed back to the other end of the ice before you realize what just happened and you get that little adrenaline rush.
Yeah, you know, especially on a play like that, like it all happens so quick, and sometimes you just, you know, shake your head and you're like, well, happy I kept that one out of the net.
What do you think about your goalie coach playing in the alumni game this weekend?
Oh, I can't wait to see it. I'm going to be there. I'm probably going to make a big sign. Says, wait, you suck, or something like that. No, it'll be great. He's practiced with us a few times, and, you know, to be honest, he's still got it. He's good, so it'll be fun to watch him play.
I would think the one thing you lose, though, when you're not doing the daily stretching and the yoga and whatever you guys do to bend like pretzels, would be that, the ability to go down, to do the butterfly, to do the splits. Could he still make those moves?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he hasn't been retired for that long, so
right.
But I'd imagine he's definitely feeling it afterwards. But he's still got it. Now he's practiced with a few times this year, and you know, he was a great goalie, and you know he still can hang with us.
When you are off in the summer in the off season, and you take a few weeks off, is that one of the first things that goes, the flexibility?
Yeah, you know, you take your 4 to 6 weeks off, and then when you get back to the rink and start doing all those moves again, you definitely feel it the first few times, but it comes back pretty quick.
See, I'm more of a specialist, Andre. I don't know if you know this about me, and Kevin, you may not know this either, but as a goalie, I can bend to my right almost to the floor. So if there's a shot coming in that direction, I'm perfect for that. Anywhere else on the net, wide open, have at it.
Brick wall on the right side?
Yeah. Well, right side almost to my shin.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty much got that covered. Just in case you need that tip, Scott, I'm there for you.
Okay, if you have any pointers for me, I'm going to block this shot. Let me know.
Yeah, write those down, Scott.
It's Scott Darling. It's MB Financial Bank and the MB Financial Bank Breakfast with a Blackhawk. Andre, I wanted to congratulate you.
Yeah, congratulations. I heard you had some big news a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I got engaged over All-Star break, so that was definitely exciting. A little nerve-wracking, but very exciting, and we're pretty excited about it.
Well, congratulations. Is it kind of funny now that everybody's finding out? Because I think, wasn't it your girlfriend put a picture on Instagram, and then someone shared it on your Instagram, and then it went back and forth? It's kind of funny how it all plays out.
Yeah, well, she started it. She put it on Instagram, and then I put it on Instagram. And then, it's definitely public knowledge now.
Set a date yet, or still working on it?
No, we just know we're going to do it next summer. Okay. So we got some time. She has time to change her mind.
No, I don't think she's going to bail on you, dude. The Breakfast of the Blackhawk listener question in a moment. But, Kevin, say hi to Scott Darling.
Hey, Scott. I know you guys have already talked about the save from the other night, and that's obviously not something a goalie is probably practicing, the diving save, unless when you're a younger kid kind of goofing around with your buddies. But what are some of the training techniques an NHL goalie goes through? What's a practice session like for you?
Practices, you know, we do a lot of everything, you know, but we do mainly general, like, techniques and fundamentals. You know, like you said, you don't really practice or stuff like that. But, you know, growing up, going to goalie camps and stuff, you know, we always had desperation drills, you know, the fun drills on Fridays. And, you know, they paid off down the road. So
there's a thing we do with the NBA Financial Bank listener question. We give away an autographed Blackhawks puck for this. Mirjana Tajstic, I hope I'm pronouncing that relatively close, from Indian Head Park. What do you consider your greatest achievement in life, Scott Darling?
You know, just playing for the Blackhawks, you know, playing my first game for the team was, you know, probably the proudest moment of my life. Just being from here, being a fan my whole life, and then growing up and playing my first game with the team that I grew up, you know, worshiping, that was definitely, you know, that, and then winning the cup was obviously
pretty crazy, right?
Those would be a tie for me. Those were the two proudest moments of my life.
By the way, I know the story's been told many times, but what you did for the guy out in Arizona who was on Tough Times is an amazing thing. Have you stayed in touch with him?
Yeah, I have.
And can you tell us if he's doing okay?
Yeah, he seems to be doing fine, you know. It was just kind of one of those, you know, spur-of-the-moment things. You know, met him down there, and like I said before, you know, it just seemed like just needed a break, and I was happy to help.
Yeah, and I know you don't want to get into this because you're a modest guy, but he stepped up and got him a place to stay and gave him a few bucks and got him back on his feet. And now that you're kind of there for him and supporting him, because obviously it's well-documented, you went through your own tough times, that's a good way to pay it forward. So you don't need to hear this from me, but we're all proud of you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Before we let you go, did you actually hear the Weidman call of that save where we started with this conversation?
Yeah, I did. It was playing when I was waiting to come on the line.
Well, good news. You're going to hear it again. Do you have it, Ross? Could we play the Weidman? Oh, Kevin, you've got it. Kev, could you play the Weidman clip for me?
Ready here?
Yeah, here you go. A little more loving for Scout here.
Then from the left wing boards, Winnick fires. Save that rebound. Oh, what a save by Darling. He flies across the crease. He was parallel to the ice. And he just robbed Nick Spaulding, who thought he had a sure goal. That might be the save of the year for Scott Darling.
I can't imagine what you must be like at Thanksgiving if there's like one biscuit left. You know, nobody's got a chance against you.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely with food, you know, it's all mine. So.
And last thing, the guys in the dressing room afterwards, did anybody needle you at all, or was everybody talking about how great it was?
Oh, no, they were definitely appreciative, you know. And you know, kind of the same thing. It's like, how'd you do that? But that's kind of what we do, you know. We try and keep the puck out of the net by any means necessary.
But I would assume it means most when you hear congratulations or great save from Corey Crawford or a fellow goalie, right?
Yeah, you know. And he's always great to me, and, you know, we're supportive of each other. And he was definitely excited to talk to me about that one afterwards.
Well, that's very cool. Couldn't be happier for you, man. I know you got to run and catch a bus, but thanks for doing this, and thanks for the people at MB Financial Bank bringing you on, and obviously the Blackhawks as well. So go get a few more, will you?
All right. Well, thanks for having me on.
All right. See you, buddy. Thanks. That's Scott Darling. Incredibly nice young man. Ridiculous.
South side.
Good guy. Where'd he grow up?
He went to Lamont High School.
Oh, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a good guy. And you know, he to be in the position he's in, I mean, you know, just there's no script. And to have him go, yeah, it's tough to back up the best goalie in the league. He doesn't say that because he has to say it. He says it because he believes it's true.
That's right.
So, thank you, Chicago Blackhawks, as well. And for the continued entertainment. Kev, next game is when?
Well, that would be tonight, Steve. 7 o'clock face-off, 6:30 pregame right here.
And they're playing? Michigan.
The New York Rangers and one of the best goalies in the league. Henrik Lundqvist,
right,
expected to start tonight.
Second best to Corey Crawford.
That's right.
And the bus I mentioned is not because, you know, Scott's trying to save money. That's the team bus they're taking over to the Garden for the skate around. I would assume that's the bus they're taking, unless they're doing a tourism thing.
Yeah, that's what I would assume as well.
And now we're going to go to Staten Island, fellas.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents... Hawk.
Chicago.
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Sponsored by Freshway, the official deodorizer of your Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, with the Blackhawks set to play in the great outdoors Sunday at Minnesota, we thought this edition of the Hawkopedia would be a good time for a quick refresher on the Blackhawks' history in these outdoor games, which have become almost an annual event for them. Yet the Hawks had not played outdoors till January 1st, 2009, when they hosted the NHL's second Winter Classic. It was played at Wrigley Field. The game time temperature was 31.9 degrees. 40,000 watched the Red Wings overcome a 3-1 Blackhawks lead with 5 unanswered goals in a 6-4 win. And a preview of the Hawks' first appearance in the conference finals since 1995. The Blackhawks' next appearance outdoors came March 1st, 2014 at Soldier Field, were 62,000. Watch the Hawks and Pittsburgh Penguins play in a swirling snow. The Blackhawks getting two goals and an assist from Jonathan Toews in a 5-1 victory. And then on New Year's Day 2015, it was back to the Winter Classic, this time in Washington, where in 43-degree weather at Nationals Park, the Hawks overcame a 2-0 deficit on goals from Patrick Sharp and Brandon Saad, but former Hawk Troy Brower scored a power play goal with 13 seconds left to give Washington a 3-2 win in front of 42,000. So the Hawks are 1-2 outdoors. Sunday, they'll play an outdoor game for the third consecutive season, but for the first time at a college venue when they meet the Wild at TCF Bank Stadium on the University of Minnesota campus. And that's our Hawkopedia for today.
Sponsored by Fresh Wave. Remember their slogan, ooh, what died up in there? That's not the slogan? That's the slogan is what?
I don't think that's the slogan.
What is the slogan?
Sure. That'd be the official deodorizer of the Chicago Blackhawks.
You sure it's not, ooh, what died up in there?
I mean, I like that. Sounds good and everything, but I just don't think they've committed to that yet.
Before we get to the 9 o'clock news, we continue to ask you for things you'd like to see on the next new car you buy. Accessories they haven't invented yet because the auto show's rolling on. Here's some more accessories from the listeners. 708, a catheter. That could be a brand name for a car, a model name, I should say.
A catheter in your car?
Yeah, but right now, the Chevy catheter.
I could never use that.
Let's see. I'd like an attachment that blocks Steve from the morning show, but...
The greatest jobs president that God ever created. I tell you that.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Keep those texts coming on auto show car attachments and accessories that haven't been invented yet. What do you need on your car? 312-981-7200. A couple of plugs before we go any further. John DeCosta is here. John, Andre Darlis will be doing her stand-up comedy debut on March
26th.
26th. That's the Saturday night prior to Easter.
Hopefully.
Oh, no, it's happening, and I can't wait.
Yeah, you're on the poster.
You know, we got to work at details.
There's an old rule in show business. When you're on the poster, you're in.
When you're one of the eggs.
That's right. At the Wilmette Theater.
Wilmette Theater, that's right. The Wilmette Theater in beautiful downtown Wilmette. You can get tickets. You can go to wilmettetheater.com, or you can contact the box office directly at 847-251-7424. That's going to be Ross Cochran will be doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Kevin Powell.
Yeah.
Andrea Darlis, okay. You and I. I can't wait.
It's going to be a good show.
I can't wait. Yeah. Extravaganza.
Now, how are things going on YouTube for you?
Good. We just added another video yesterday. We will add another one tomorrow. You can go to Today and DeCause on YouTube. It's a lot of fun, and they're really...
What are the two videos you just added?
The two videos we added, there's another song that I'm lip-syncing. I forgot the title.
Okay.
Horrible.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I guess it really doesn't matter.
And then the one you're going to add?
I'm eating cereal.
Oh, that's tremendous. Again, the idea is you could really start right today.
Yeah.
And for the rest of your natural life, just look at YouTube videos of people doing stupid things and do nothing else with your life. And you wouldn't finish. That's how many videos are on there.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of those people have gotten famous, like the guy that makes $10 million a year playing video games.
Right.
And other people log on to watch him play video games.
I just did one with my dog, Katie. That will go up later in the week, and I'm really proud of that one.
You want to give us details?
She just gives me a kiss goodbye.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Very sweet. Yeah,
that's very cute, sweet. John.
You gave us, it's a spoiler.
The long-term goal here, John, as you know, is that you get...
You don't know what I say to her.
The long-term, the long-term goal is that you get famous enough off this that you leave the show. Are we anywhere close to that?
We just tallied up everything, and I'm going to be with you for a while.
But you know what's really cool? Because I love the Lego builder when you're building the toys. And I've gone on that a couple times.
So yeah.
Guess what that number's up to? Guess how many hits it has?
What?
199.
199 hits?
199 hits.
Yeah. That's great. Now, how many of those were you?
194.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good. Bad. So six. Bad. Did I do the math
right? No, it's actually five. It's five people. It's 9:15. Tonight, our friend Mark Sapelsa steps out of the anchor chair for a bit. To do a report, and I've got to tell you, look, and I'm saying this with Mark on hold, knowing he can hear every word of this, and it's a risk. But I'm telling you, as a reporter, forget about how great he is as an anchor. He is a great newsman.
He's awesome.
And there's nothing more comfortable for me than sitting down and watching Mark make other people uncomfortable when he asks them awkward questions.
Especially Donald Trump.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. Love this. So Mark Sapelsa joins us now. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I know it's early for you. What are you wearing?
Let's see. Pajama bottoms and a T-shirt.
It's a hot look. You ever thought about anchoring in that?
And let's see, I've got what kind of, these are Uggs slippers.
It's what all the anchors wear at 9 o'clock in the morning. all right, so explain the Trump story tonight, because obviously it's got a local perspective.
Yeah, think of follow the money here. So, is it proper, because it's perfectly legal in this state, in this county, in this city? Is it proper for Donald Trump to give money to a hotel PAC that gives money to Alderman Ed Burke, and then have Donald Trump hire Ed Burke's law firm to lower his property taxes? You think he's going to get those property taxes lowered?
This is everything that's wrong with Illinois politics.
Mark, can I just clarify, being a resident of the city of Chicago, you mean my Alderman Ed Burke?
Yeah. Your Alderman Ed
got
Burke,
it.
Right.
Okay, just making sure I got it.
And, and by the way, not to muddy the water here, but this is the same business that Cullerton and Madigan are in.
And you will hear about that as well. Donald Trump gave $20,000 to Mike Madigan. Mike Madigan also has a firm that will lower your property tax. Now, to be fair to Donald Trump, everybody does this.
Right, but that doesn't make it right.
Exactly right. And there are people calling for finally a law, an ordinance, to something that makes it illegal for these aldermen, these powerful legislators, to have side businesses, or basically full-time businesses, because their side job is basically being an alderman. Their right. side job is basically being a state legislator. And have these law firms where they make millions and buy homes in Palm Springs, California, or whatever the heck Ed Burke has up in Wisconsin, you know, to take money from these people into their campaign coffers, and then on the side, and I'm telling you, Ed Burke's signature is on Donald Trump's tax-lowering attempts.
So, you know, so without giving up the story, because I want people to watch it tonight, but without giving up the story, were you able to get the alderman on the record commenting on this?
We're working on it.
And it would seem to me that if you were working on this story, I would have gotten word of this, because the rest of the Chicago way is, you know, when the media is chasing you, that I would have tried to figure out a way to come into you long before going up against deadline tonight.
Here's how it usually works, Mr. Cochran. You hear silence until they see a promo.
Right. Well, maybe they won't do it. Yeah, that turns out we are going to do it. So the law that would have to be passed to prevent state legislators from engaging in this kind of nonsense, because you know what the state legislators say. Well, listen, I am completely beyond reproach. I absolutely can conduct my state business and run my business without either one of them influencing the other. Yeah, of course you can.
As a matter of fact, we heard that exact statement from one of them, who promised to provide some information to us today that person says would prove exactly what you just said.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's the file they pull out every time this question comes up in various forms. But here's the thing that troubles me. Am I wrong to say this? The law that we're discussing, which is completely common sense, would have to be passed by the people who the law would affect.
Bingo.
Can I ask the white elephant question?
The system is so broken.
Mark, how is this allowed to happen? How is it allowed to?
Well, and Steve just points it out, because they run the ship. You know, I mean, take a look at what happened in city council, you know, this past week with the inspector general. You know, the inspector general of the city council, the new inspector general, was given some powers, but the one power that he said is really important here is to see how the aldermen spend their $2 million+ that they get as a stipend, so to speak, per year. Ed Burke according to other aldermen, walked around that those council chambers and lobbied to have that part taken out of the inspector general's power, and he succeeded. So as long as you've got powerful people running this town, this county, and this state, you're never if they're in power and they're a majority, you're never going to change things.
So, look, I've got plenty of problems with the teachers union and how they've comported themselves through all of this, but we're talking about laying off teachers at a time where we've got one of the most powerful aldermen, city council people in America fighting to make sure there's no transparency into city finances at the most troubling level.
That happened.
Just unbelievable.
Yes, that happened. That's exactly right.
It's just outrageous. All right, story airs tonight. What time?
9 o'clock.
And available after that on the website, I'm sure?
Yes, we'll post it minutes thereafter.
It's amazing. By the way, Mark, if you'd like to see what makes my head explode this morning in the Chicago Tribune and on the comment side of the editorial page are my thoughts on the Supreme Court nonsense that's going on. So take a look at that when you get a chance.
I believe I had a precursor to that. I might have. Did I see something like that on the Tweetville or something like that yesterday?
Our social media department does a very good job here. By that, I mean Ross.
Yeah.
Ross was taking care of that. But, so when you can't trust city politics and you can't trust state politics and you can't trust federal politics, I don't know, first rocket to Mars? What are we doing?
No kidding. I'm going to go to my front doorstep momentarily. As soon as I hang up, I'm going to read your letter.
All right, good. Good luck tonight, buddy. Thank you. And I mean this with all sincerity. Thank you for doing this kind of work because it's important that people hear what a joke this has become.
Well, and again, not in any way be snarky or whatever. The point is, you're right. It's troubling because it's your tax dollars, my tax dollars, and if it doesn't seem right, it shouldn't be happening. And that's what we're trying to point out.
Yeah, and again, it's all legal. It's legalized thievery.
That's why you have to vote.
Yeah, that's why you can't not vote. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, guys.
Mark Sapelsa. Nobody works harder, and nobody's better. There's not a better anchor in America than Mark Sapelsa.
Can you believe that story, though? I mean, we teased it before, but they get the full explanation.
So you got Alderman Ed.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I like Ed.
He's a very nice man.
I like him. And I think
accessible.
Yeah, and I think he probably does... You know, you talk about the Chicago Way. I think he probably does a very good job for the people in his district by far.
Absolutely.
But he's also doing a really good job of taking care of Ed.
Well, all of them, too. Everything is a conflict of interest. If you're steering state business, or if you're steering any sort of business where the taxpayers are paying for it toward your company or a company that you have an interest in, it's a huge conflict, completely unethical.
It's ridiculous. And Madigan and Cullerton and Alderman Ed would all tell you the same thing. And by the way, I know there's Republicans who are engaged in this sort of chicanery as well, that all of them would say the same thing. And
it's
that
legal.
Is, it's legal, and I can run my business and run my public service life completely separately. Yeah, well, of course you can. Why would we doubt you? It's 9:23. By the way, Ross, you're producing the show today. Is Mike Madigan on in the next half hour?
You know what? Hold on. Let me check.
Anything else? No?
Nope.
Nothing. Okay. Crickets. Okay. It's 720 WG. It's 9:27, and Donald Trump is making more news today for things he can't do, didn't do, claims he did, or wouldn't do. Here's a headline. 9/11 wouldn't have happened if he'd been president. This from the same guy who saw the Palestinians and the Arabs and other Middle Easterners in New Jersey celebrating. Can I hear it? Go ahead.
If Donald Trump had been president of the United States in 1998 instead of Bill Clinton, what would you have done?
Well, first of all, I think the World Trade Center would be standing, I will tell you, because if you read my book, The America We Deserve, I have a whole, you know, paragraph or two about Osama bin Laden. And one of the big hosts of one of the shows said, I don't believe it. You know, Trump was talking about Osama bin Laden 2 years before the World Trade Center came down. Now, I wasn't even a politician. I was a business person like a lot of you people. But I've always been very interested and fascinated by it. And I saw this guy, and I watched this guy, and I read about him, and I said, he's trouble. He's big trouble.
By the way, a whole paragraph or two in 1997 about a guy who is known to the public, known to all levels of both parties, known to the CIA and the FBI since the late 80s and after the original garage bombings of the World Trade Center in 1993 was on the radar. Donald Trump's paragraph or two had nothing to do with it. And the blowhard continues. By the way, I wasn't talking about me. You know it's hard out here for him when he's trying to get this money for the friend. 940, hard out here for a pimp. I mean, you know, how many times have I said that? I think me coming back, that was the one thing that I said when I came back. I sat in a meeting and I said, look, it's hard out here for a pimp. That's what I said.
Did say that, and their response was?
Oh, here's the headline. Meet the pro-Clinton healthcare advocacy group, Hookers for Hillary. Hillary Clinton is picking up the endorsement of a group called Hookers for Hillary. The Moonlight Bunny Ranch owner, Dennis Hoff, has a history of letting her girls get political. Well, they were pimping for Ron Paul, pimping for Paul back in 2012. The Nevada law legalizing prostitution allows the bunnies to operate out in the open. It's not some clandestine thing.
No.
And it's hard out here for a pimp. I think we've determined that. So let's go to their pimp who is standing by on the phone. I've not met this individual. Please get close to the delay button. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey. Good morning, and hello to Chicago.
And who are you?
I'm Marty Shakanola.
Marty Shakanola?
Marty Shakanola.
Oh, Marty Shakanola. Got it. So Marty Shakanola. Shakanola family name?
No, that's my real name.
Okay. All right. And you are the pimp for the Hookers for Hillary.
Well, I don't like to call myself a pimp. I'm technically a 60-minute manager.
You are a manager. Got it. And is it a lucrative business?
I not really, but we do make a lot of money.
Okay. All right. So the girls, do you book them individually?
No, we got a front desk. What we do is we got everybody together from four different places to do this.
Okay.
To make money for Hillary.
Okay. And is it a super PAC?
Okay. I don't chew gum.
No, it's not a gum thing. A super PAC is an organization that collects money that has nothing to do with the campaign.
Oh, then we definitely do. Yeah,
all right.
We definitely do.
And the girls are unified. Why do they not like Bernie Sanders?
I got to be honest, I don't really know. I think they just like Hillary because she's a girl.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and we got five of my ladies. Let's just call them my ladies.
Yes, of course.
They all got together. Carissa Kisses got together. She also contacted Lovey W. Louie, and then Amber 11, Amber 25, and Amber 162.
All right, and that's all their real names?
Yeah. That sounds reasonable.
I was told that, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you can't go on the record about this, but Andre, I was told one of the reasons they don't support Bernie Sanders is because he's a bad tipper.
Oh, is that true?
Is that accurate? Is that, Mr. Pimp?
I don't know how much we could talk about here, but definitely, there's no question about it.
Okay.
Here's what he left. This is ridiculous. Speaking of gum, he left two sticks.
Okay. All right. We're talking to Marty Shakanola. Marty is the pimp for the Hookers for Hillary. Is there any chance Hillary will make an appearance with the Hookers?
Oh, yeah. We're trying to work out a photo opportunity right now. She's going to come down to our place called 55 Minutes in Heaven. Then she's going to take another picture over at Cash and Mary.
Uh-huh. All right. Andre, you have any questions for Marty Shakanola?
Yeah, Mr. Shakanola, the Bunny Ranch prostitutes, I saw the headline, hitting the road to help Clinton reach the White House. So you're doing a nationwide type tour on a bus, or are you flying?
No, actually, when they say they're hitting the road, they're actually going about a block away.
Okay. So it's not very far.
There's not a bus because we don't have a bus, but there's a golf cart, and we take turns.
Okay. Well, that seems right. Kevin, do you have a question for Marty Shakanola?
Marty, asking for a friend here, of course, but let's just say someone's interested in meeting one of your girls around 4:35 this Saturday afternoon. What would be the going rate?
What's your last name again?
That'd be Powell.
Powell, but I'm asking for a friend.
What was the time?
About 4:35.
4:35. Yeah, you know what? It won't cost your friend, that much. Maybe a couple hundred bucks, but
all right,
only with a 25% discount if you're looking to vote for Hillary.
Oh, I see. So if you mention, is that like a code word for an internet deal? If you go with a deal word Hillary, that might help you out?
Yeah, just say Clinton.
Okay. All right.
25% discount. Half. You also get half price on the appetizers and complimentary panties.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you being on, and my best of luck to you and the girls.
Love you, too. Love your show.
All right. There you go. That's Marty Schottenauer. It's very early in Las Vegas for him to be up.
Yeah. They actually have a Facebook page, too, by the way.
Hookers for Hillary?
Facebook.com/hookersforHillary, and I'm not making that up.
Marty sounds like a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
435, was that your address, or was that the time that your friend wanted?
Like 430. Yeah. Between 435, my friend was asking.
Okay.
Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to talk to the chief doctor for Psychopaths for Trump, which is another super PAC that just formed a moment ago. It's 9:45. I'm Mitch Hanna. I think it is. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10 on 720 WGN.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster type player plays his cards right. A real gangster.
Marty Schottenauer asked for this as a payback for coming on the show. All right, 9:48 in the morning. And before we wrap up today, as always, you know, it's only a four-hour show, and there's a million stories that we never have time to get to. There's a video that I need to have posted here. I'm hot and cold with Deadspin, Kev. I don't know how you feel about Deadspin. Andre, I don't know if you ever look at Deadspin. But Deadspin as a website gets unnecessarily mean at times.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a soccer game. It looks like sort of a mid-level soccer game in Europe. And the video shows a guy, and it's just a simple dump into the goalie. But the goalie decides he's going to juggle the ball with, you know, with his feet. It's soccer. And as he kicks the ball up a second time, a defender rushes him, blocks his kick out. And because he was juggling the ball instead of touching it with his hands and throwing it away, they score a goal. It's a complicated explanation for something that will really make you laugh because the guy is a complete dork. Let's see. In other things we didn't have time to get to today, Ted Cruz has a plan that is going to make taxes fair for everybody. It turns out that tax plan was checked out by a number of bipartisan tax organizations that say his tax plan would aid the top 1% and would cost $8.6 trillion.
Oh, that's all?
$8.6 trillion. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. You like the special kisses that are coming out from Hershey lately? The special different kind of...
Yeah, they seem to be mixing it up quite a bit.
How about carrot cake kisses? Mm. Carrot cake kisses guaranteed on the agenda for spring. Not for you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Weren't you in a band called Carrot Cake Kisses?
I was.
My mom makes the best carrot. Oh, that's your mom.
That's my mom. Johnny.
Sorry. I got.
So. That would be good in an Easter basket.
That's when they're going to release
it.
Yeah. Carrot
awesome.
Cake Kisses. There is a couple of sex related stories, which I know all of you readily enjoy. Emily Ratajkowski is the model slash actress who appeared in what video? Why am I forgetting the name
That song? Would be Robin Thicke, where she's completely nude.
Yeah, what was the song?
That was the one he ripped off.
Oh, Blurred Lines.
Blurred Lines, yeah.
And since then, she did the Entourage movie and a few other things, and she's trying to be an actress. It's tough when an actress tries to get political, and she's supporting Bernie Sanders. Some of the responses to a few of her tweets from Bernie Sanders include two of these. Shut up and just show us your boobs, and less speeches, more boobs.
And take a look at your junk.
So,
less speeches, more boobs.
Yes.
Okay.
And one more before we get to something that Andrea is sitting on, which I think is important for you to know because everybody loves the annual story about what's in the Oscar goodie bag.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you're wondering why that strange charge appeared on the American Express bill this month, there is a dramatic rise in Afternoon Delight hotel bookings. we will do a full study into this and find out why it's happening. But it's another trending story. And this is specifically out of the BBC. I don't know why this would be a European problem. But the afternoon nookie.
Does Marty Schottenauer have a hand in this at
Marty
all?
Schottenauer?
Schottenauer.
Yeah, Schottenauer would be completely different. Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight. Gonna call Marty Schottenauer and see if he can fix it up tonight.
Schottenauer.
All right, Andrea. So the Oscar goodie bag list is out. And yeah. In the Oscar goodie bag, normally every year, this is for the presenters.
Yeah, this is for the presenters and the people who are nominated as well.
And
get a
what,
goodie bag.
And what do they get?
It's $250,000 gift bag this year. It's the most expensive goodie bag ever at the Oscars.
So a value of $250,000.
Yeah, $250,000. Here's what they get. They each get a $250 marijuana vaporizer, a $1,900 vampire breast lift. Skin treatments by Park.
What?
A $1,900.
What is a vampire breast lift? A vampire comes in and lifts your breasts?
I don't
understand.
This is really gross, but there's something with, you know, you have to look it up.
The
it's
doctor
really
can
gross.
Only work at night? What is this?
It's a, you got to look this up. This is, it's embarrassing to talk about. It's, you know, it's a boob lift.
Yeah.
Do the guys get this too?
Kim Kardashian made this famous, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, what is it?
Google this.
He comes in and goes, I want to make them higher.
Your blood is drawn from your arm by a doctor spun through
centrifuge.
A centrifuge.
Yeah, they
and
take.
And then reinserted in other areas.
So they take the blood from your underarm and they put it in your boobs?
Yes.
And that's supposed to make your boobs higher?
Yes.
All right, what else are you getting in a goodie bag?
These are the rejects.
Moving on. Skin treatments by Park Avenue Plastic Surgeons valued at more than $5,500.
Okay.
A $275 roll of Swiss-made toilet paper. A 10,000...
Whoa. Again, I hate to stop you.
I know.
Why do I need Swiss-made toilet paper as opposed to Sherman?
It's made out of chocolate.
That's right. What could it be?
Extra soft. I don't know, $275.
Mafia bank dollars in there? Money that's being laundered?
Roll of TP.
All right, next.
A $10,000 trip to the Holy Land.
Boy,
you can
really,
see how that fits
I got to tell you, that really seems like that should not be in this list, but keep going.
And a $250 sex toy.
Again, wait a minute.
Draw your conclusion.
You have a trip to the Holy Land and a sex toy.
Mm-hmm.
Who is vetting the bag?
This is all legit.
And how are we getting to a $250,000? You're not at more than $20,000 yet.
Well, the Holy Land trip.
It's a really expensive sex toy.
Wow.
Undervalued.
It's $955, and she's not making it up because she wouldn't. That's in the Oscar goodie bag. Aren't you sorry you're not a celebrity? Who wouldn't want Swiss toilet paper and your $250 sex toy? And we'll come back. Bill and Wendy are next at 720 WGN.